tongue, and nation. God is redeeming, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Can you say amen? Who are these? These are those that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the mighty work of the Holy Spirit tonight. You may be seated, and thank you for singing from the heart tonight. And Mike is on a business trip, and Sean is on a romantic interlude, and so we got some folks out, but they will be back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will be glad to have them back. But we're glad that you're here this evening. You know, we sung that song about praising Him at the beginning of the day and praising Him at the end of the day. And what we're doing right here tonight in this Sunday evening service is praising Him at the end of the day. Can you say amen? We praised Him this morning. We're praising Him again at the end of the day. And if you have your Bibles, I want to continue to worship in the Word of God. Did you know the way we receive the Word of God is part of our worship? It's part and parcel of our worship of God, the way we honor what He has to say to us. If we dishonor what He has to say to us, everything we just did is in vain. Amen. It's plain and simple. Amen. He desires people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It has to be from the heart. It has to be genuine. It has to be qualified by the God who looks past the appearances, looks directly, distinctly upon my heart and your heart. And when He sees the intent to obey, He sees that kind of heart. Amen. He's very gracious with the stumblings we have while seeking to overcome the flesh and the flow of the world and the culture and to overcome the enemy of our soul. He understands the battles that we are up against. What He's looking for is not sinless perfection. On the other hand, He's not looking for someone using the grace of God as a reason to give way to the flesh and follow the world. There's a perfect balance in God. Can you say amen? Where grace is still grace without giving us license to sin. Amen. I mean, no, true grace never gives you license to sin. Amen. That's not why it's there. Amen. The grace of God that appeared to all men teaches us that denying, amen, ungodliness, we should live godly and righteously in this present world. Praise amen. God. So the Lord expects us, whoever you yield your members, servants to obey, make no mistake about it, His servant you are. Whom you obey. Amen. So we can sing He is Lord until the daybreak and get very sentimental in our hearts while singing it. But unless we obey Him when we leave here, that is meaningless to God and really is meaningless to us. But if we walk out of this door and we seek to really obey God and live an obedient life, God is going to bless that life of obedience. The Bible is very clear about that. Amen. He that heareth my word and doeth it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Literally, in the Greek, it says, in his life of obedience. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So the Lord is drawing us into an obedient life. And I want to talk again tonight about truth prosperity, and I want it to involve the things of the Spirit primarily, and secondarily, all the other needs of our life. When the kingdom is first, everything else God takes responsibility for. Your Father knows what you have need of. Now, here's what God tells me as a Heavenly Father before we read from Job chapter 22. Amen. And verse 1 down through verse 30, or 21, I'm sorry, through 30. 21 through 30 of the book of Job. What the Lord tells me as a Christian man and a father and a husband is if I don't provide for my own as a father, what He expects of me to show to be a good father, a pleasing father to Him and a blessing to my family, if I don't provide for my own, regardless of anointings and all these different things, I've heard some people say they, use all kinds of excuses for not taking care of their family and try to spiritualize reasons. Saul tried to make a spiritual reason for why he brought the oxen back because he's going to offer them a sacrifice. And look, God's never had anything on His altar as beautiful as this. And he was very wrong about what God was looking for. No gift laid on the altar is a substitute for an obedient life for the person laying on the altar. Can you say amen? Our own heart attitude qualifies or disqualifies the gift, no matter how wonderful and beautiful the gift may be. And God's looking for that intent to obey. And I want to make it clear tonight, this is not moving over into legalism. This is not what this is about. This is just distancing ourselves from liberalism. You can distance from liberalism without going into legalism. God's word is in a perfect harmony and a perfect balance. He said, there's grace to you. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. But when you're saved, there's a lot you can do to live out that life that God has given you, that new life. It's called working out. Amen. That is taking place within, letting that come out. That's not, again, working your way to heaven. It is letting that God has done within us begin to manifest in our life. Amen. In a viable and visible way. Hallelujah. So work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. God is still God. We still account to Him. Amen. Grace doesn't cover up. He chastens His children. I see some people that I say, you're either not a child of God or boy, are you in for it. And you say, amen, if you don't get chastised with rebellious attitudes and saying that you're a Christian, then my Bible said you're a bastard and not a son. Right. You don't belong to God. If we be without chastisement, the Scripture said we are bastards and not sons. Uses that word. Right. We can't claim Him as our Heavenly Father that we've never been born into His kingdom. And I'm convinced more and more the longer I live, what other pastors are convinced in coming forth and saying that there's a lot of people that claim Him that really don't know Him. Amen. Simply because there's no demonstrable, not sinless perfection, but there's no change. That attitude, there's no bent toward righteousness. Amen. If there wasn't a bent toward righteousness, there'd be no struggle. We'd just keep giving in to sin. We struggle with the flesh. We struggle with the world. We struggle with our enemy, the devil. We wrestle against powers and principalities. There's a struggle. There's a conflict in our flesh. There's a conflict with the culture. And there's a conflict with the enemy of our soul. Can you say amen? And what God is looking for to empower us to overcome all three is that attitude of heart that is fully surrendered unto Him. That isn't arguing with His Lordship. We think the world is creating all the tension that many Christians have in their life. A lot of the tension many times is between us and our God. Because when we finally surrender to Jesus, there's a peace that comes. Amen. It's a holy peace. It's a supernatural peace. In fact, it's a peace that passes all understanding. Praise God. So I want to talk about the peace of submission and the blessing of obedience and the joy of repentance. I had to put joy in there with repentance. Every time any preacher says repent, the whole church gets a long face most of the time. Amen? There's a joy in repentance. Amen. Jesus talked about it in Revelation chapter 3. He said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. Have a zeal for it. Amen. Repentance brings you into a right relationship with the Lord so restored blessings can come. Don't ever look at that as a negative thing. It's a positive thing. And if the Church of Jesus Christ in America would embrace the message of repentance again, hallelujah, what a revival that would come to this nation. And I believe a revival is coming. I don't believe an evangelist is going to bring it through his gifts. I believe the church is going to achieve it through repentance and restoration. Everybody say repentance and restoration. You can't repent and not be restored. Do you realize that tonight? If we return to God, He reciprocates. If we return to God, what happens? He returns to us. And He restores us because He's back now. It's like the ark coming back to Israel. That's the reason David was dancing. He said, listen, everything has changed now that the ark is back in its rightful place. God is going to keep His covenant with us. If it don't rain, we're going to pray toward this temple. And God is going to send the rain. He's going to overrule the normal weather conditions and supernaturally intervene. And if there's a drought in the land, our crops are going to drink. Amen. Hallelujah. And if enemies come up against us, no matter how many they are in number, our God, when we make our prayer toward this place, our God is going to listen. Our God will defend us. He's going to stand up and restore His blessing upon His people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God wants the victory to come back to His people and to His house. Hallelujah. He wants to hear the joyful sound. Like we were doing a while ago, praise God. Victorious saints, amen, show it. And they praise God from their whole heart. Hallelujah. So I'm going to talk about true prosperity in the context of the peace of submission and the blessing of obedience and the joy of repentance. You don't hear much about prosperity in these terms. It's always in faith formulas to get stuff. And you know, I even hate to go there because every time I go there, I get this feeling. It's something just, it's like the Holy Spirit in me is grieved even when I talk about it. Not only when I listen to it, hear it somewhere, but when I talk about it. I just don't feel freedom in the Spirit when I'm exposed to that. But at the same time, I would urge you and encourage you not to throw the baby out with the bathwater in this respect. God does want to bless His people. And I said today, I do not expect to be opulent. I do not expect to become a millionaire before I die. If I'm going to be, God better get on the ball. Can you say amen? I'm not looking for that. You say, well, that's why you're not getting it. You're not claiming it. I don't need to claim that. In fact, I don't need to claim a whole lot to be blessed. There's a lot of things I need to do. And I'm not talking about works to be saved. I'm talking about obedience to the Lord. Amen. The kingdom is first and His righteousness. The Father knows what you have need of. And the Bible said, take ye no thought. Everybody say, take ye no thought. All these things that all of our energies and most of our faith is out there for, the Father is going to care for those things if we will put the kingdom first and His righteousness. And that involves submission and obedience and certainly repentance. Amen? If I'm going to be right with God, I can't tell Him I have no sin constantly. I can't sit back and never use an altar or make an altar in my life. I can't do that. For 1 John says, if we say as believers we have no sin at all, we never have an occasion for repentance, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, if we're honest with God, and we got a heart to obey Him, amen. I love David's attitude. David failed terribly, and we could go into his failure. And really, when we go into it in detail, it's far worse than just skimming the surface of what he did. He was a man that did not deserve the mercy that God gave him. The great man was not David. The great man was the guy that David had killed. He loved his God. He loved his king. He loved his wife. And he loved his brethren on the battlefield. He loved his brethren so much he wouldn't even on a qualified leave. He wouldn't go and have a relationship with his wife because he said, how can I have pleasure with my wife and all of my brethren on the battlefield suffering such hardship? I just don't feel right. Me being that blessed while they, I want to go back and stand with them in battle. So David couldn't cover his sin. So he had to come up with another scheme. He didn't want blood on his hands. And the devil will tell you there's a lot of things you can do and justify what you do. But on the outside, looking at David's blindness and his desperation to cover his sin, and he should have known that he couldn't cover it from God no matter what he did. Amen. But he was trying to cover it from people. He didn't want to lose esteem in the people's sight. So he said, you know, take this man that because he had sex with his wife, and he could have had all these different ladies, but he chose a married woman. Amen. And the lady become impregnated. This is like a soap opera running in the scripture. And now he's caught in this because she's impregnated. And his husband's been fighting in the battles. He's not been home. So now his sin is about to find him out. So he told his captain, said, take him out into the thick of the battle. Go with him and fight with him until he's in the thick of it, right in the hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. And listen to this, withdraw thyself from him. You talk about a despicable man. Sin will take a great man and turn him into something else. I tell you something, sin ain't nothing to play with. Can you say amen? Hey, I'm serious about this. It began to change David into something else. Just allowing it to get in his heart began to affect everything in his life. And the great champion of God became a murderer. And I'm not talking about murderer by killing an enemy. I'm talking about a murderer by killing to cover up a sin. That is called a heinous crime. It is premeditated. First degree, planned, plotted, murder. You withdraw from a man in battle. He figured if he dies in battle, there's people all the time dying in battle. It won't be the same as taking my knife and slitting his throat. But it was. They would have never, that man might have been killed in battle, but they made sure he was killed in battle. In the thick of the battle, this great patriot and this great godly man drops dead as the enemy kills him. And David said, my sin is covered. But on the inside of David, it roared. He said in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, whose transgression is covered. When I held my peace, when I didn't repent. Everybody say the joy of repentance. I'm taking the last verse, but we'll get there somehow. The joy of repentance. I said the joy of repentance. How did we associate such a negative with such a positive thing? Amen. Return to me and I'll what? Return to you. Praise God. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. My hand's not short that it can't save. My ear is not heavy that it can't hear. But your sins have separated between you and your God. What happens when that issue is settled through repentance? God returns. The blessing returns. He becomes our provider, our protector. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Heavenly Father fathers us. And the blessings of the Lord are everywhere in the life of His people. They're evidenced. There's joy again. There's peace again. There's power again over the enemy. There's not all of this defeat and depression. Amen? How did it ever get so twisted that we lost the joy of repentance? I could just say repentance is part of the formula, but it's the joy of repentance. David said, when I got that weight off of me, I mean, how could David live with that day in and day out? He said, I'm going to tell you, my bones waxed old. David began to look old before his time. Amen? With roaring. What did the Bible say about the wicked? When we follow the wicked, the same atmosphere that plagues them and follows them is going to follow us. Don't be swayed by the parties they have and the seeming joy they express. They have to go home and live with themselves. And evidently, they're not doing very well. Hollywood is not an image of contentment. The rock stars are not an image of contentment. The big CEOs and the big corporations do not symbolize contentment with all their perks and bonuses. People are still killing themselves because of the economic condition. When Enron failed a couple of years ago, however long that it was, one of the businessmen, he wasn't the CEO, but he was high ranking, pulled his car into an intersection, took a pistol, and blew his brains out, and that was the end of his life. There are people so wealthy that their whole life is identified with their wealth. When you take away, and listen, what they're left with, most of us could live on the rest of our life happily. There are billionaires that get down to their last million. See, I can't imagine that. But there are billionaires that get into their last million is like me and you getting down to a $5 bill in the bank. And they're so identified with their money and the power that it gave them and the feeling that it gave them. It's a false high. That the thought of living without the billions was unthinkable. To live our life was unthinkable. Isn't that incredible? And I enjoy my life. Amen. He gave us all things richly to enjoy. I enjoy my life. I think I can represent the kingdom better by enjoying my life. Letting somebody know that following Jesus is the best life in the world. Not some kind of religious box where you can't have any fun. How many know you can have fun without sinning? It took me 2 or 3 years as a Christian to discover that. What a load off of me it was when I thought, man, I can have fun and not sin. There's a lot of fun things that aren't sin. When I first got saved, I thought if you're having fun, you must be sinning. If it's fun, it's sin. There's some people today look like if it's fun, it's sin that I meet. But I'm so glad that my wealth is laid up in heaven. That who I am is not identified with what I possess. For a man's life doesn't consist, but the world has nothing else. Can you say amen? But a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Why did we ever get sidetracked from all the benefits and blessings of the kingdom in the first place? Kingdom first means Jesus is the Lord of my life. I'm submitting myself to Him. I'm doing it with a willing heart. I can't offer Him perfect obedience, but I can be honest with Him. And when I struggle and when I stumble, be very quick to repent. Amen. David said, when I held my peace, my bones, Psalm 32, waxed old with roaring all the day long. And listen, my moisture was turned to drought. Amen. This is the king living in a palace, with everything his heart could desire. Amen. But sin didn't satisfy him. All of the wealth and the power and the fame didn't satisfy him. He even had a reputation as a great champion for God that had not been exposed yet. But inside he knew the truth. Sin promises freedom to do anything you want and satisfy every passion and desire of your flesh, but it always brings you into a prison. Make no mistake about it. When Jesus came, amen, to this sin-filled world, he came to set the captive free and to liberate the prisoners that were bruised by sin. Can you say amen? And we don't even want to talk about sin today, as if sin is a non-issue. Sin doesn't exist. People are offended to hear the word. Hallelujah. How can we miss it? What is the problem in man in the 21st century that we have a problem admitting that we are in sinners in need of a Savior? Amen? Amen. We are sinners in need of a Savior before we get saved. And after we get saved, we are sanctified people. But we're going to miss it sometime. And if we try to tell God we never miss it, we're lying. Some sin of omission or commission is going to happen. And it can not just be an action, it can be an attitude. Amen. To hate your brother without a cause, you're murdering your heart. You wish something would happen to him, even though you're not the one to do it because of the ramifications. But if something happened to him, you'd be really glad about it. He said, that's sin. Show respect to persons, it's sin. Someone comes in and drives up in a Lincoln or Escalade, and they come in a pinstripe suit, and they write a $1,000 or $10,000 check to the offering. And guess what? Suddenly, I found time in my busy life to take them to lunch. I've got a congregation of faithful people that give liberally and sacrificially of their time, their talent. But I take that dude to lunch because he walked in off the street and wrote the big check and wore the big, and he can do big things for me in the church. He might give me an Escalade if I take him to lunch. Maybe he'll build us a building if I ingratiate myself to him. God says, I just sinned. That's right. Amen? If I tell him, you know, there's no seats left. We're so crowded in here. Terry, would you go sit back there and let that man sit here? You know, he's a visitor, you know. We should show preference to him. The Bible said, at that moment, I sinned. I sinned. When we cater to the world, to ingratiate ourselves to them. Amen? When how much we give instead of how we give becomes the issue. We sin. Little widow put in 2 pennies. Jesus said she'd give more than anybody. But I bet nobody took her to lunch. Can you say amen? I went to a church. I was getting an understanding of that as a very young Christian. And I went to a church and I was in between. I was preaching kind of evangelistically. And I went to a church and my tithe had accumulated. My offerings had accumulated. All of that had accumulated. And I thought, they have a real need here. They seem to be really doing the work of God here. And I wrote out the check for that had accumulated. It wasn't my weekly pay. It wasn't my monthly pay. But it was something that had accumulated. I was praying God where to put it. And I really believe the church was going to use it correctly because they were helping some people and doing a good work. But I'll never forget, after I wrote that check, I started out the door and the pastor come running from the pulpit because he had seen the check when the offering was taken up somehow or another, or they'd told him about it. So he, and it wasn't huge, but evidently, you know, when you need it, a little is a lot. But anyway, he come running and he said, how are you? How are you doing? We're glad to have you. And he invited me out to lunch, and I told him, I said, you know, I really can't. I got, and I really did. I had things I had to do because my life has always been so busy. But I thought about that. I thought, you know, if I had come in and I didn't wear the suit that I had and I didn't write the check that I wrote, would I be any less valuable to God? No. And if I gave out of my littleness, if I put in $1.50 and I had $3.50 left to last me the week. You know, the widow woman gave 2 mites, but she had nothing left. Jesus stood up. He was watching all of them give it. He stood up. Aren't you glad it's that way? Aren't you glad that your best is good enough to Jesus? No matter how little it is. Amen. It encourages me to put my best foot forward everywhere I go. Amen. I can't be as good as this one or that one, but the good news is my best is good enough. Obviously, it's not good enough for a lot of people, but it's good enough for Him. And I'm the servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm your servant for His sake. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I love Him and I love to serve Him tonight. And I want it to be a joy and not a job. It's joy in repentance. David said, when I didn't do that, I dried up. It roared. The wicked are like the troubled waters of the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. But when we repent, the first thing that happens, we get peace with God. And the second thing that happens is we experience the peace of God in our heart and in our life. Can you say amen? And that peace is priceless. Amen. He that covereth his sin, the scripture said, will not prosper. True prosperity involves repentance. Can you say amen? But he that confesses and forsakes his sin, that's when true prosperity kicks in. Amen? Because you can't buy this peace. You can get a 10-bedroom house with 5 bathrooms and an Escalade to pull your boat to the bay with. And a town car or whatever else is out there to sit, a Mercedes to sit beside of it to go to work in. And a motorcycle just for fun. But if you don't have the peace of God, you got a house, you don't have a home. You just got a car. You don't have a life that's abundant. Abundant life means a bicycle in Jesus and still joy in your heart. Yeah. If you got Jesus. And you got eternal life. Well, let me read this. The peace of submission. Say it with me. The peace of submission. The blessing of obedience. And the joy of repentance. Now, that's true prosperity. That'll bring it. It'll come. God will give you what is requisite for you and what is in His will for you. and when you're submitted unto Him and obedient to Him and willing to repent when things are wrong, there's joy in your life. Hallelujah. Peace in your heart. Verse 21 says, and this is good teaching right here. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Everybody say peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from His mouth, and lay up His words in your heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and thou shalt put iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. I'm going to get into that in depth a little bit further in what the actual Hebrew says. But it isn't what you think on first appearance. Because in first appearance it says, God's going to give me gold and silver as much as the pebbles are down by the stream. That's not what He's saying. Oh, thank you for the amen. See, we're so biblically illiterate that people just misquote Scripture and there's no one to put them in check. Well, we need to get big biblically literate. Because people that know what the Bible really says are standing and looking at us and say, how can you swallow all of that? Well, that leader has tens of thousands following. That doesn't make anybody right. Amen. My mama used to tell me if somebody jumped off the bridge, would you jump off the bridge because they jumped off the bridge? What we're seeing today is what Jesus talked about. If the blind lead the blind, everybody goes into the ditch. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not just the blind leader. It's the people, amen, following a blind leader. You have to be blind yourself to follow a blind leader. Because believe me, if you're enlightened by the Word of God, you will never follow a blind leader. Amen. You know what God called the false prophets of the old covenant through the prophet? Blind dogs, which cannot bark, can't sound the alarm. Can't give a warning message. Amen? Laying down, loving to slumber. A watchdog was important. It wasn't just pets to lay on the couch and scratch fleas. Can you say amen? Dogs were not for that. Shepherds used dogs differently. Amen. And they used dogs to alert. And sentinels many times would use dogs to alert when an enemy, because the dog's hearing is so keen and the smell is so keen. I got a little doggy. Remember the little doggy that Vincent gave us? That little doggy can hear anything. I mean, that little hit will come up, boy, and he gets on guard, and he can smell, and he'll growl and run at the door because he hears something we don't even hear. And I'm telling you, nobody's going to sneak up in my backyard while he's on guard, because he ain't blind and he ain't stupid, praise God. Amen? Amen? He does a job for us. He's a watchdog. Snakes don't come around anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. The snakes just don't come, because he grabs them, and he's got a shake that his head is a blur, and it just grabs and it shakes a snake senseless. My wife went out the backyard and thought a snake was drunk one day. Went out there and there was a snake, and he'd go this way and he'd go that way, and what happened? The dog had grabbed him in the middle and shook him so hard when he turned him loose he didn't know where he was. You know, he just wanted out of the yard. Just let me out of this yard. Amen. I mean, nothing comes back there anymore. Poor squirrels we used to feed, they're afraid. Amen. Everything's afraid because he's a sentinel. Amen. But he's not. Listen, you know what the preacher's supposed to be according to the book of Ezekiel? Amen. A son of man. He told Ezekiel as a prophet to Israel, I have made thee, listen to this, a watchman over Israel. If you see the enemy coming and you warn them and they don't listen to you, I won't hold you accountable or responsible. Can you say amen? But if you see the enemy coming and you fail to warn my people and they are destroyed, I will require their blood at your hand. We need some ministers today that understand that God Almighty, not the congregation, God is going to hold them, not the culture, but God is going to hold them accountable for what they say and for what they do not say. Amen. Somebody give God glory in this room tonight. You can't be a pastor and not be a watchman. I know what is the enemy of my soul and yours. And I refuse to not preach on that is destructive to God's people. I have been known my whole life as a hard preacher because I told the truth. Period. When God's people have an issue with truth, when they hold a Bible and don't want to hear what it says, not even the words in red from their own master, we have a real problem in the Christian camp. Can you say amen? We do. And people now can choose because, honey, you got a lot of options out there today, more than we've ever had. Many false prophets shall go out into the earth and deceive many. How do you know if they're false prophets? There's a lot of criteria, but the Bible did say one thing. If all men speak well of you, you better look out. Amen. When all men speak well of you, they spoke well of the false prophets that came before you. Amen. There are people that they design their whole message and ministry, amen, to encompass and ingratiate themselves, not just to Christians, but to the world at large, so that they don't make anyone upset, anyone angry. They don't rock any boats. They want to be loved by everybody. Amen. Jesus said, marvel not if the world hate you. It hated me before it hated you. He said, but you, when you really begin to take warning is when the world loves you. That's right. When they can accept you, when they don't have an issue with you. Yeah. They sure hated Jesus. Yes, they did. And if you follow Jesus, they're going to hate you. There are people that respect me where I work, and there's people that will give me a, and I don't soapbox, but they give me a wide berth. When they see me coming, they get out to the other side of the aisle. When I say hello, and I don't badger them and I don't bother them, but I do live for God. Amen. I'm out of the closet. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm a Christian. And there's no if, and, but, or maybe. And I have a friend that sticks closer to a brother. I don't have to ingratiate myself to everyone else. God is my buddy and my king at the same time. My friend and my master. He's a good God, Terry. Amen. I don't need the applause of men. Amen. I'm getting down near the end of this whole road here. Praise God. 70 is given to man. I got 8 left. By reason of strength 40. Big hairy deal. Add 10 more to that. That's only 18. Amen. That's not long. I've been in Plant City 17 years, living in the house I'm in. It seemed like yesterday I was moving in. It goes very, very quick. And it seems like it picks up after you pass 40. Oh, you'll find out about that. Yes, you will. Amen. It seemed like you go over the hill and start down the hill. Slow going up the hill or zoom going down the hill. I remember at my 40th birthday, they brought me a black cake with vultures on it. The neighbor next door brought a black cake with black icing with vultures on it. Big old ugly buzzards. And I thought, dear Lord, that was 22 years ago. What are they going to bring me now? A white cake with tombstones. I don't know. Something. But there ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm going to continue to sound a warning when it's necessary. I'm going to speak up and I'm going to speak out. Amen. I have counted the cost. I am paying the price. Amen. I really believe I could be in full-time ministry if I had bought in to what so many Christians are following right now. But I didn't buy into it. But I'll be honest with you, I came very close. There are tapes that I dumped in the dumpster. Because I knew I'd heard this, it sounded good. I hadn't personally researched it, but it seemed to be getting people to respond. And I thought, boy, if we can just get people in a revival spirit. And I remember quoting people that now I wish I hadn't quoted. Because when I went back to the book, I found out it isn't correct. Amen. And time has proven that it isn't. People need to wake up in America. We've been promised the greatest blessings that the world has ever known. And we're in the greatest economic slump since the Great Depression. And if you think Christians are exempt, you are sadly mistaken. Christians lose jobs. Christians hit hard times. Christians look to God. God will sustain them. Amen. But there's a message out there that says it's not only not going to affect you, you're going to become rich in spite of it all. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to reevaluate what's really important in our life is what we're going to do. We're going to find the joy of Jesus instead of the joy of things again. We're going to rediscover the person and power of the Holy Spirit and not just the glow of a plasma screen. Can you say amen? Amen? I like a plasma. It's neat. My son upgrades his TV. I get his old one and I get one better than I could purchase. But I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. Amen. There's nothing like the peace of God. Amen. If repentance allows him to return, David said, you know something, don't be like the ox or the mule that has to be turned about by the bit and bridle lest he turn and rend you, lest he turn around and bite you. You have to take control. You have to cause him pressure and pain. Don't be rebellious. Don't be headstrong. Amen. Get into repentance. And not only after you repent, then pray this wonderful prayer. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of your deliverance or salvation. Let me see your hand moving again in my life. Let me see your hand move again in the nation of Israel. Let your mighty name be exalted and glorified again. Amen. Then, when God returns, when God moves, amen, then sinners, transgressors will learn your ways. And sinners will be converted unto thee when the church gets right and the church gets free. The world will sit up and take notice. Amen. We're asking God to save the lost without Him sanctifying us. And we're the vehicle He wants to use to reach the lost. We're the living epistles. Amen. We're the living epistles. We read the epistles here, but we're the living. We're living it out. Praise God. And people see it. Then thou shalt lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Oh, I want to go there so bad. Time is almost gone from us. But really what this is talking about, it's saying when you count gold and silver and what it can do for you in light of what I can do for you, that peace and that joy and that fullness of having the God of the universe hear your cry, your prayer, defend you and provide for you. And you look at gold and silver and what power it has. Remember Israel in Isaiah chapter 30, chapter 31? They got enemies coming and they had become opulent and rich. Instead of going to God because they had so much wealth, they said, you know, there are mercenary soldiers down in Egypt that will fight for money. They don't need a cause. They don't need a covenant. Amen. They'll fight for money. And if we go down there and give silver and gold to that king, he will send those mercenaries out here to stand with us in battle. And those guys are rough and tough. Amen. They fight for a living. They'll come out here and stand with us. God sitting back said, what in the world are they thinking? That the power of money can buy them an army to put on a battlefield when what they've always needed and what they've always had is the power of God with them. And then they didn't need a big army when I was with them. Amen? But there's something about wealth that's seductive in thinking, I really don't need the power of God, the supernatural, because I've got the power within my wealth to obtain these things. What a lie. What a lie. But Israel bought into it. You know what God said in the book of Isaiah 30 and 31? He said, woe to those that go down into Egypt for help. Woe to them that are leaning on the arm of flesh, that think with the power of their wealth they can buy an army and they can buy victory by putting that army on the battlefield. David just numbered Israel, brought a whole plague into Israel. Amen? David numbered them to see how many fighting men he could put on a battlefield. And God said, you don't need to number Israel. It's not how many men you put on the battlefield. It's whether or not you trust me or not. Hallelujah. When you start numbering your army, then you're trusting in the arm of flesh. Amen. David repented. Praise God. David repented. I said David repented. He went down to offer a sacrifice to God and repent down at Ornan's threshing floor. He said, I want to buy the threshing floor. Amen. To offer an offering unto God because I've offended him and I need to repent. And Ornan said, hey, you know, there's a plague in the land. If this is going to turn everything around, then I'll give you the threshing floor. And David said, no, you won't. I will buy it for the full price, for I will not offer to God that costs me nothing and expect him to be impressed with it. We want a quick fix for everything today. We want to offer him something. We won't even give unless we're promised we're going to get a huge windfall. There's got to be something in it in the immediate physical material sense to stimulate people. And believe me, it's stimulating. Today. It's stimulating. Amen. We want people to live that lifestyle because they're promising us if we listen to them that we can do what they're doing. Let me tell you something. These are blind dogs which cannot bark. I didn't say that. God did. Because if they don't see, amen, the danger in that, then they are blind. Period. I don't care who they are and how many people follow them. They are blind. Can you say amen? They should be sounding a warning. They should be sounding an alarm in God's holy mountain. The coming of the Lord is at the doors and no one's even preaching about it. Amen. We're so comfortable here in this world. We're so envious of what the world has. Amen. We want what the world has so we can be comfortable in the world. Jesus tells us, amen, to lift up our head when we see what we're seeing right now prophetically. He said, I want you to lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Can you say amen? And to they that watch and to they that look, that means to longingly desire his coming, he shall appear. He's coming for a church that's looking for him. Amen. To return. Not a church that's so comfortable in this world it really doesn't matter. They that look, they that long, blessed are they that mourn, they shall be comforted. These are not the crybabies. These are people that say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we will not be satisfied down here until it does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom will come when the kingdom is come in us. But him coming to the earth, oh, when the wars stop and all this carnage stops and the bloodshed stops and the hatred stops. Hallelujah. I long for the day. Maranatha should be the byword of the church of Jesus Christ in these last closing hours. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, shouldn't that message be trumpeted to the right now to the church of Jesus Christ? Amen. Because he that hath this hope, what happens to this draw to the world, this absorption into the culture? What happens? He that has this hope does what? He purifies himself. Amen. If you live out on your ranchero till Jesus comes, it's not a bad ranchero, is it? Amen. Barack probably wouldn't spend the night there, but it's a nice place. He's probably looking for better than what we could offer him. But I'm telling you something, it's nice. There's peace there. I felt peace on your farm. Amen. Or whatever you call it, your animal preserve. I don't know. Whatever it is. I saw a lot of critters running around. That's all I can tell you. Amen. I saw things I didn't know what was, but they were nice looking thingies. Amen. And I love it out there. It's peace. You get away from the highway. I can hear the interstate from my house. Sometimes it wakes me up in the wee hours of the morning. When the wind is right, it will carry sound. Sometimes you can't hear it because it's a mile over to it. But sometimes you wake up, you can hear it like it's in the backyard. You can hear all that roar of trucks and cars. And I say, oh, this is not good. This is not good. I don't like to lay listening to an interstate. I like to hear the birds singing. Amen. I like to hear the quietness and the of dawn. And, you know, but here's this old interstate just going and going and going. Even my little dog gets up and looks around and he's looking like, what in the world is this? The interstate, calm down. It's nothing to worry about. Amen. Just calm down. Amen. Because the sentinel is on guard. Amen. It's in my backyard. I'm going out there. Don't make me come back there. Hallelujah. I got a dog that can see. I got a dog that can bark. I got a dog that is an arch enemy of a snake. Can you say amen? I got a dog that can see the enemy coming and he's going to let her rip. Can you say amen? I want a preacher like that. We need evangelists like that. We need people that will speak up today. Can you say amen? You don't think there's any need to warn God's people about worldliness? To warn them about the greatest day of deception there would ever be would be in the last day? And there's no warning coming from pulpits? Can you say amen? And the coming of the Lord is at the doors and we're not getting people ready for his coming? Can you say amen? We are preparing to live out our days here, amen, when we should be preparing to live with him there. I believe he could come before this generation is over. If he don't, I will be greatly surprised. But I am going to choose to live in the light of his soon coming, because unto they that look, he shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. Can you say amen? And be ye also ready, for in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. I cut my teeth on that when I first got saved. But you don't hear much about it today. And yet we're closer to it than we've ever been. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Hallelujah. I want to hear it again. The choir used to sing at our church when I first came to God in a full-blown dedication that lasted, ever since it was full-blown, it's lasted all of these years. It's going to last all the way through. Amen. I am not perfect, but I do love Jesus Christ. I am a servant of the Most High God. I believe the Bible to be the inerrant, unadulterated word of God. I believe we need to preach it like it is in the 21st century. I don't believe God has changed. I don't believe he allows us to edit it. In fact, I am forewarned not to touch that Bible and not to touch that book. I'm told in the Old Testament, not to touch it. I'm told in the New Testament, don't touch it. Can you say amen? If you're going to edit it, don't even try to preach at all. It'd be better not to preach than to not preach something it says or to preach something that it doesn't say, to please people. Paul knew about Ezekiel, and he knew what God was holding him to, and he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, therefore I am pure from the blood of all men. If the watchman warns and people don't listen, God said, I won't hold you accountable. But if you don't warn them, and they're destroyed because you didn't warn them, their blood will I require at your hand. Preachers can't just preach to be popular, powerful, rich, famous. There has to be another motive, and that's to see people saved and to see them sealed until His coming. Can you say amen? And we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will preserve us blameless until the appearing of His Son if we will accept His Lordship. I'm looking for a revival of the preaching and teaching of God's Word as it's written. Everybody looking for something new. Honey, God is God. He doesn't change. Doesn't need to change. We don't need a new improved gospel for the 21st century that accommodates our sin and compromise. We don't need that. That somehow will let us merge with the culture. We don't need that. We need the same counterculture gospel that Jesus preached and the apostles followed and the prophets declared. It always got them in trouble, but boy, did they have joy. Can you say amen? I said, boy, did they have joy. Everybody say, boy, did they have joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because God manifest His presence where they went. Amen. Cities were shaken as they preached the unadulterated truth of God and exalted Jesus Christ. What is better than cities being turned upside down? What is better than people coming to know Christ and devils being cast out and the sick being healed? Can you say amen? And the gospel going forth. What is better than the Word of God growing and multiplying and the Lord adding to the church daily such as should be saved? How can you improve on that? When we get to where the cross doesn't stimulate us anymore, the blood of Jesus is not held precious and God is not reverenced as holy, then we better start looking for something to push our buttons. And believe me, there's plenty of people out there who will give you that something to get you in their congregation, to get your money in their pocket and make a fool of us publicly. Hundreds of people will confess healings they didn't get. And when we submit it to people just saying, show me one. One. I'm not asking for 10, 15, 20. I'm asking for one that a doctor's report can verify. Just one. Just one. Show me one. Something's wrong when we can't show them one. Amen? We should be able to show them one. It was there. The x-rays are there to prove it. It's gone. That would be one. When God heals you, the x-ray really shows it up. When God doesn't heal you, you have to go on and face the reality. And a lot of people run through a city, hype people up and have them believing things and they wasn't even sent from God because they declared their gifts and their anointings and their experiences rather than His truth. And He confirms His Word. Not that person. Not come on. He confirms His Word. He confirms His Word. He confirms His Word. He confirms His Word. Amen. I believe we're going to see miracles when we're not even running looking for miracles. I believe the miracles are going to occur. Amen. When we come back to God and God comes back to us. When He manifests His glory in His house and His people. Can you say amen? When the sick call the elders. People like you and me that love God and stand up for Him. If there be any sick, call the greatest anointed evangelist you can find. No, if there be any sick, call the people around you that stand up for Christ, the mature ones. Let them anoint them with oil. Let them pray the prayer of faith. Yes, Philip went down in Samaria with a mighty anointing. But in the church, God said the church has the manifest presence of God available every time she assembles together in His name. Woo! Hallelujah! Call the elders, the housewife, the electrician that loves God. Call the mature ones that will stand around you and pray the prayer of faith. In South Korea, it's happening through the elders. There's no major evangelist leading the revival in South Korea. It's God-driven. It's God-driven. So the report that came out of, not South, did I say South? South Vietnam, I'm sorry, South Vietnam. House meetings, 50, 25, 30. something like we've got right here is taking place. Instead of one big major church making a splash, house meetings all over the place. So Dr. Wong from Hong Kong, I can't ever forget his name because of the way he said it, interviewed on Moody Radio, said there's a great revival in South Vietnam. It is a mighty move of the Spirit of God. There is no major church and no major preacher leading it. People are meeting because of the persecution and communism and everything else in South Vietnam. They're under communist rule. Amen. That people are meeting in house services. Some 50, some 25, some 10, some 15, some 60. But always just house services where people gather, Christians gather together, open the Word of God and lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. Now remember, this is not Charisma Magazine. This is Moody. Amen. This is not an organ of the Pentecostal charismatic world. This is the straight-laced Moody. Amen. And so this interview was taking place, and I was so thrilled by it because Dr. Wong, he was sitting there telling, he said, and let me tell you what's happening in those meetings as they exalt Jesus. He said they pray for one another, and he said the miracles that you read about in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, said they are being replicated. So there's nothing that happened in the book of Acts that didn't happen in South Vietnam. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, you're Lord, you haven't changed, you're God. This is not new. This is not new. This is what he was doing in the book of Acts. This is what he's doing in the old covenant. Can you say amen? God was healing way before the Pentecostal movement. God was delivering way before the Pentecostal movement. God, amen, was doing the supernatural to honor his covenant and his commitment, amen, concerning his people. From ancient times. Hallelujah. So immediately the commentator for Moody, you know, sees this disorganized bunch of ramshackle people meeting in houses, and he says, well, what can we do to help them? And the guy must have got the cue. What they want to do is go over and organize them. And so he piped up and he said, well, whatever you do, just pray for them. In other words, they're doing pretty good without your help right now. Can you say, prayer will help them. But don't even think about going over, you know, and getting them all the degrees you want to give them and get them under the hierarchy of ministerial leadership and all. You just let God do his thing there. If they love God and they're serving God and the elders are being called to pray for people and God is working miracles. He said the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, demons are being cast out. That's what Dr. Wong from Hong Kong said. And he's a director of Far Eastern Missions. Hallelujah. And that's in our day. He said you're going to look at gold and you're going to look at the gold of Ophir, the purest gold, very differently. You say, when it comes to God's power as opposed to the power of this wealth, I'll look at that gold like the stones, the pebbles, and the sand in the brook. Because that gold can't do what my God can do. Amen. So I value it differently. I value my relationship with God, who can do anything and who can satisfy me with what I have. Amen. Gold can't satisfy it. People who got it aren't satisfied. They ask Rockefeller if you could have anything you wanted, what would satisfy you? He said, more money. He didn't need more money. He never spent all he had. I love the bumper sticker on a big Winnebago that I saw one time headed to the mountains. Years ago, I saw a big bumper sticker on the back of that Winnebago. And one side, it says, too old to work, too young to die. We've just gone bye-bye. I like that one. And on the other side, it says, we're spending our grandchildren's inheritance. Our children and grandchildren's inheritance. Gold can't make you happy if God can't make you happy. If God is in your life and fulfilling you, giving you living water, whatever he gives you can make you happy. You can be happy in life with what you have. Isn't that an amazing thing? You don't have to envy the world or compete with some other Christian. You can be happy with your lot in life. Do you think I could come down here and preach if I was unhappy with my calling to this pulpit? and say, oh, I'm way too good for this little outfit. Dear Lord in heaven, God, you don't know what you're doing. Well, I'm such a good preacher, I should have 10,000. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to be preaching this message to 10,000 people. Amen. Don't you get me wrong. I'm not a us for and no more preacher. I want to reach the world for Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you something. I'm where God put me, and I'm doing what my hand is found to do with my might. And I'm not giving you some little sermonette for a little Sunday night service, am I? This is a camp meeting sermon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll bring camp meeting blessings to us right here. Revival can begin with us. We don't need a crowd to start a revival. Amen. It can begin with you and me. Amen. Some people that are not here tonight, when they come back to see some of you and me, extra turned on to God. Can you say amen? Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Everybody say fervent. That's a wonderful word in Scripture. Water, when you take that word that is used in the Greek for fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, and you apply it to water, it's when water strikes a boil. When you apply that same word to metal, it's when metal starts to glow from the heat. It's so hot it actually begins to glow. Evidently, that's red hot, honey. Can you say, man? Can you say, man? You ever heard the term, I'm on fire for God? Can you say, man? Listen. When he said, that's the way I want you to serve me. I want you to be radical. I want you to be sold out. I want you to be on fire for me. Because fire begets fire. Can you say amen? Somebody give me one of those because I just mentioned it. Dear Lord, if I thought I was going to get everything I'd mentioned, I would have mentioned a whole lot of other things. But I just mentioned a fire pot. You know, one of those fire things that outside, I got one of those canopy things. And I just mentioned, I'd like to sit out there at night instead of watching the TV. I'd like to sit out there at night under the stars. Amen. Just cool enough to make you like the fire, you know. And I would like to light that fire in this, what do they call them? The fire pot thingies. It's a big one. It's like that. I mean, and you put a log, and there's a log, amen, that's been treated so it will catch up and blaze and burn very nicely, you know. It's got a screen you put over it, and they gave it to me here at church. I put it in my truck. I got out my marshmallows. My wife bought wieners. If you're going to have a fire, you got to have marshmallows. And if you got a marshmallow, you might as well roast a wiener while you're out there. Can you say, man, they're so good over that fire. Amen. And the dogs, they just go crazy. You know? First marshmallow my dog had ever eaten. Oh, dear Lord in heaven. He started chewing that thing, and he went, it was really a challenge for him. It was something different. But it took a fire. I had to create a fire to start that fire. I had everything necessary to have a beautiful blaze burning. But it took a fire to start a fire. And everybody's waiting on the fire to come. Well, let him fire you up and me up. And maybe people seeing us fired up because, you know, it'll be different. People who know us will recognize when we get fired up. We'll be saying the same things, but we'll say it with passion, enthusiasm, joy, hallelujah, amen, excitement, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, glowing, boiling. When Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, I word that you are hot or cold, he used that same Greek word. Amen. And when the apostle said, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and the sound mind, and said, stir up the gift that's in you. That word stir up, actually it was interpreted as stir up, but it is the word to fan into flame. Listen to this, a fire that threatens to go out because of neglect. You know what they would do in the old wood stoves and the old coal stoves and the fire? They would bank the fire up at night. That means, you know, get it to where it wouldn't go completely out, but there's no flame. But when you get up in the morning, you start stoking that sucker. Can you say, man? And if you fan it and give it some oxygen, flames are going to come back, and then you can put more logs on and keep that fire going. God said this thing can burn low. This thing can become a glowing ember instead of a flame in your life. Can you say, man? Even the truth you hold so dear can become more of a theological truth that you deliver accurately rather than something you passionately believe. And when you tell truths like this without passion, dispassionately, just to be right instead of to glorify God, and get excited. Can you say amen? Fire begets fire, folks. Amen. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if somebody in here just got on fire for God again? Amen. You think your past getting on fire? No. You reckon not? No. Amen. I'm fired up tonight. I'm 62 years old, but I'm fired up tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see revival in my generation. Jeremiah said, even down here in this dungeon, it is as shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. When this thing comes out, it's coming out fervently. When they say, is there any word from the Lord? It's going to flame up. Hallelujah. He makes his ministers flame of fire. He baptizes us with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! The Holy Spirit manifesting the presence of God and the glory of God being seen upon us. What was on top of their heads on the day of Pentecost? Hallelujah! What did God do to show He accepted the sacrifice? Hallelujah! Come on, church! Somebody say fire!
Fire!
Glory to God. Hallelujah. What was on the burning bush that didn't burn?
Fire!
When God wanted to confirm His covenant to His servant, it was a fire pot moving supernaturally. How did He lead them at night when they came out of Egypt?
Fire.
Pillar of fire. There's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. When He comes, He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and there's something that comes with it, and with fire. Everybody say the Shekinah. The fire that is so holy it threatens to devour this world. What is God going to destroy the earth with the next time?
Fire.
But the fire that threatens the world warms us, enlightens us. We don't fear that flame. And I feel that flame. Amen. It draws me close to God because I've repented. My sins are forgiven. My sins are under the blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? There's no enmity between me and God. I know the peace of submission. I know the blessing of obedience. And I know the joy of repentance. They're running from the fire. I'm running to it. Same thing that the world is afraid of, I embrace. Wow. Church is not supposed to be this frozen, chosen situation. We're supposed to be on fire. Hallelujah. When that fire is added to your testimony, it changes everything. Amen. When that fire comes upon a choir, amen. It's not about hitting the high C anymore. Can you say amen? When that fire comes through the Word of God, it touches the heart. It melts that hard heart down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. When that Shekinah shows up in the church, that glory. Hallelujah. We sense the very presence of a holy God. And we want to be clean and pure and obedient. Wow. And we value things differently. We get a heavenly mindset. And I got to close. It's time to close. Will you come, brother? Number 6 on that list that I gave you, if you will. One song tonight as we close. True prosperity is when God comes back. Not just when we get stuff or even get healed. It's when God returns to us personally. And returns to us nationally. God returned to America. This nation will be great again. Righteousness exalts a nation. That's why we got to preach it again. We got to challenge the Church of Jesus Christ on this issue. Righteousness made America great. Being right with God. We were known as a Christian nation. We knew the money was not our power and that we would become a rich and wealthy nation. So they decided, place on every coin. So every time you spend a dime or a dollar or any currency in this blessed nation, that you're reminded our trust can never be in our treasury. They start printing money without gold to back it up. Something's going to happen on the world economy. I'm telling you, we can't. There's something more at stake here than just throwing money at the situation. We're throwing money at it trying to fix it, and some of it may be necessary, but I'm telling you, there's something more at stake here. And that's the blessing of the Lord on this nation. Because they can't print enough money to throw at it if God doesn't bless us again. We need a message of repentance, because if we don't need to repent, listen, we need to quit growing after gold and silver. The church needs to repent. We need to look at gold and silver differently as a tool to serve God with, but not as something, amen, to prove our faith with, supposing that gain is godliness. My Bible says, from such turn away. And the church, instead of turning away, is following by the thousands, by the droves. And here I am tonight, and the devil will shout at me many times after a service like this and say, what do you think you accomplished tonight? What do you think you did tonight? Why don't you just quit and let them go to the big church? Not that every big church is bad. There's some big, good churches. But why don't you just quit? What is your voice? Well, it's just a voice. That's all John the Baptist said. He said, I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm not graded on how many people get baptized today under repentance or how many don't. He said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, make the crooked path straight. Righteousness. He's a preacher of righteousness. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Noah wasn't just a boat builder. Make no mistake about it. He did more than build an ark. The Bible said Noah, the eighth from Adam, a preacher of righteousness. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. You know how many people listened to that man? Eight were saved out of the whole world. Was he preaching the truth? Did he need somebody's tapes on how to get them in and get them to give? Was he hearing from God? Did he give God's message? Preacher of righteousness, he had the right message. Can you say amen? And Felix reasoned of righteousness. Paul preached righteousness. Amen. And temperance and judgment to come. Yeah, he preached the coming judgment too. And Felix trembled. Can you say amen? This gospel is designed to shake you, not let you alone and make you comfortable in your sin, to challenge you. God loves you. He don't want you lost. He don't want your soul damned. He wants you saved. Hallelujah. Somehow fire and righteousness coincide. What did God do to show that sacrifice was accepted? When all the prophets of Baal are screaming and hollering and cutting themselves and trying to get their false God to answer them, what did Elijah do? He obeyed God. Amen. He put the sacrifice. How did God show his approval on that? How did he do it? The fire came out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice and lapped up the water. The very enemy of fire is water, but this fire laps up the water. Because this wasn't natural fire, this was supernatural fire. What was on that bush? A fire that burned it up? No, the bush never burned, but the flames engulfed it. Can you say, amen. Moses said, I'm going to turn aside and see this thing. Amen. God is manifesting himself on the side of this mountain. And the ground I'm standing on because of his presence has been sanctified. I'm standing on holy ground and you're living in a holy temple because God's come to live in it. Somebody give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a man on fire in a fire. There was a man shown. Oh, my whole son named Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego are standing before the furnace and they're thrown in. But there's a man on fire in the fire, and his fire is brighter than the fire of that sevenfold heated furnace. There's a glowing man in there, and he's glowing brighter than the fire and the flame. Jesus appeared to John and he saw that light, that Shekinah, brighter than the noonday sun, and it burned out his eyeballs. He couldn't see. He was blind as a bat until some lowly Christian laid hands on him and asked God to open his blind eyes. That encounter with God blinded. Hey, honey, he was going to get saved or he was going to get into more trouble. One or the other. On the road to Damascus, he came to a crisis in his life. Hallelujah. God doesn't judge. He didn't want to judge Paul, destroy him. He wanted to make the greatest trophy for the kingdom. Can you say, man, the greatest persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ, carrying out the orders of the Sanhedrin, became one of the most dedicated Christians, the most persecuted Christians? Can you say, man, he saw what he did against the church of Jesus Christ as a greater sin than any of the sinners he was preaching to? He said, among sinners, I'm the chief. I'm the one that held the cloak of them that killed that precious brother. Amen. That stood up for my Lord and my Master. Whatever they do to me, it's okay. It's all right. I love my Master. I'll die for him. I'll suffer for him. Somebody actually said that has 100,000 people watching them on television, 10,000 in the church. Amen. Or hundreds of thousands, literally, said, you know, Paul could have used his faith and not went through what he went through. But he decided not to use his faith. Amen. And he said, so, but I'm not going to live that way. And I thought, and you're going to read from the epistle of a man who is willing to suffer and die for Jesus Christ, and you're not willing to suffer, amen, anything, and you want to live in opulence and claim allegiance to the Lord? You can't walk in the league with Paul. How do people follow people like that? Why do they go back to church there? Amen. When people are blind dogs which cannot bark. How can that man warn against worldliness? You say, Brother Ben, but you shouldn't judge. Honey, the Bible's prejudged this. Amen. I'm not making the call. God made the call. Amen. And I am going to stand up for what God calls sin and what God calls wrong. Amen. Thank you for the heart of man. It's not judging. The final judgment's up to God. Only God knows the heart, but I know the doctrine and I know the life. And we're to judge the teaching. You're to judge mine, and I'm to judge other people's. Well, now that we've arrived at this point, we get right with God. He's going to accept us. We're going to be a living sacrifice. What happens when we are a living sacrifice unto Him? He fills us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that fervent spirit that is born out of that submitted life, It has impact. Amen. Truth takes on new meaning through a heart that is aflame for God. Amen. We're not just teachers of correct theology. We are proclaimers of a truth that is real, like a fire shut up in our bones. That's what God wants to send us. And He wants to do it in churches all over the land. And He wants the revival that's in South Vietnam to begin to happen in America, where people come together, big churches, small churches, great preachers, little preachers. That's not the issue. Where Jesus is exalted, where people yield and bow to Him and to Him alone, I believe God is going to visit them. Amen. 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 We return to God. God returns to us. And He manifests Himself. And things begin to happen that the supernatural power of God and God alone can do. God is glorified and we are delivered and set free and blessed and fired up. Hallelujah. And the last day revival is on just before Jesus returns. It's not just any gospel. It's the gospel of the kingdom that is to be preached to the world before He returns. It is the gospel of the kingdom. It involves the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Adonai. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want God to awaken me. Fan and stir up the gift that's in you, Timothy. Stir it up. Because of neglect, discouragement can make you neglect. Disappointments and discouragements can do that. Distractions can do it equally. You get distracted and you don't focus anymore. And that flame will begin to burn low in your life. It means to fan in the flame. Fan into flame. Praise God. Hallelujah. Fan it into flame, because it's in there, but it's got to be fanned to flame up. Fan it into flame, Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in, out of season. Somewhere down the line, there's a reward waiting just for being faithful. Amen. It may be Vincent that goes out and sets the world on fire. Wouldn't that be something? Out of here. that God is working in people's lives. Make no mistake about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to praise Him and go home. I'm glad you came tonight. Hallelujah. God is good. Number 5. Yes, awaken me. Awaken me.